This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, September 26th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have another open line Monday. That's right. That means you can call in and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Also, we can talk about what is trending and on social media and what is trending in the news. I have one or two things I would wish to talk about just to start the conversation, start the ball rolling. And I have a guest today. I have a guest who is my guest host, Ian Munnings, and you should be familiar with him. He's been on the show a couple times with me. And I want to put some questions to him. First of all, I would like to know, did you hear that awesome speech by our Prime Minister Philip Davis? And I want to know what you thought about that.
Well, I think that was one of the most greatest speeches I've heard from our Prime Minister so far. I think that when his time is done, I think we are going to reflect back to that particular speech when he spoke to those persons in the governing bodies and stating to them things that have to change.
And any particular part of the speech that resonated with you, where you say, that touched me, that evoked some emotions for me?
The fact that our Prime Minister said that every time this small country is going to compliance with the big worlds, the big cities, and these nations who set the criteria on the small nations, that they have an opportunity to do something so much better. But it's like every time they try to move, the foot is on their necks. It's difficult for them to move.
Yeah, and I think that you were mentioning the blacklisting, that the OECD put us on the blacklisting again. And it does seem to be like similar to other prime ministers said that the benchmark continues to move and we continue to meet the criteria and the obligations. But every time we try or we do this or regulate such, they move it and put us on the next blacklist. But then again, you see the opposition leader, Michael Pintard, said that Mr. Davis failed us. They had the time and the chance to meet the obligations. And in fact, the government stated already that, yes, they would comply. They know the deadline. And the point is, they didn't meet the deadline. You know, so they failed us.
Well, I don't think that was a great opportunity for the opposition leader to speak out on Mr. Davis' speech, primarily because at the time when Mr. Davis is speaking, he sat in front of the world cameras and he's saying to you that every time we've complied with you and do what you said we needed to be done, it's like y'all always finding something else. And it's like when the big nations do things that are quantified much more bigger, it's like nothing happens. But to the smaller nations, to the Caribbean nations, it's like, we're going to keep on pressing you. We're going to keep on pressing you. We're going to keep on pressing you. And it was like, how long are you going to take our resources? How long are you going to use all of the emissions what you guys are doing to do what you're doing? Nobody is going to critique you. Nobody can say anything to you guys, but you're setting the standard and the criteria for us as a people. I think that the opposition leader just was offset at this particular moment.
There's a quote. I'm going to quote the Prime Minister best I can. He says, a particular nation, or he said, no, let me change it, because I want to ask who he was talking about, who the Prime Minister was talking about. He said, the right to bear arms does not give you the right to sell arms to traffic arms. The right to bear arms does not give you the right to traffic arms. And I'm trying to find out who the Prime Minister is talking about. you know, because I know no one in the Caribbean create or manufacture arms, right? And he's saying that we have an influx of guns and ammunition coming in and being smuggled into the Bahamas. And I want to know, like, who near us manufacture arms and have this, quote, the right to bear arms? That sounds like he's talking to America to me.
Well, if they catch, if they sneeze, we got the cause. So, I mean, it's straightforward.
I ain't sure if I feel comfortable with our prime minister challenging America. I mean, I know he ain't called no names.
I don't think it's
but that right to bear arms, that's an American thing.
But I don't think it was about him challenging the
you don't think it was him challenging America?
I don't think about him challenging them. I think the fact that he's saying to them is he's saying that.
So he is talking to them?
Or them and the other nations also.
What other nations that produce arms near us?
There are some other nations all about.
Like, you mean,
arms are shipped all over the world.
Yeah, but you mean another nation that near us is ship, who ship arms?
It doesn't be clear.
These are American guns. The right to bear arms. That's prime minister was direct by using that quote. That's a American constitutional thing. I think that's... What, is that the First Amendment, the right to bear arms?
Mm-hmm.
One of them, but that's my point. He's talking about the United States. He's talking to Joe Biden them.
I think our commissioner said it best when the former commissioner. I think he said once those guns were taken off the street, the serial numbers ran, and we can say that majority of those guns would have been coming from the Americas.
Yeah, and another quote I enjoyed from the prime minister's speech was that black governed nations matter. And I think that he took that from the Black Lives Matter movement again
to the Black
in the United States. So I'm not sure if that would resonate with any European country, but definitely that quote, "Black governed nations matter," also. I think he was again talking directly to the United States because they deal with racism, and I think that he was suggesting that racism is playing a role in what is happening to the Bahamas from these European countries, from these American countries, these, what he said, former colonist countries that we were colonized by, and that what is happening, these blacklisting, these scrutiny that is happening for the Caribbean nations is basically because of racism. They don't like black people.
Definitely.
And again, I think I'm guessing things. I think he's talking about the United States.
I think it was
It
was a widespread conversation. But like I said, I don't think it was just directly towards one particular big nation.
Yeah.
The scenario what he pitched at that time was that all of the nations that, you know, that come into those smaller countries like the Caribbean, and they remove all of the natural resources from that country, whether it be the aragonite, whether it be the bauxite, whatever it is that they're extracting from these smaller nations, they're saying to them that, hey, listen, we comply with you guys. We give you all the resources. We everything that you say to do, we do. And it's like, we can never become perfect to you because there's always something else that you always come up with.
Yeah.
There's a different criteria. There's always a different motive. There's just so many different things that's going on.
As I go to the call, I have a text here that says, "Great show as usual. The PM needs to wait until I get my visa before he decides to tell the U.S. off." I understand. I understand your point, you know? It was a little concerning. But producer patched the caller through. Let's see what he has on his mind for this open lying Monday. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? See if you can get that caller for me, please. Caller, can you hear me? I can hear you, caller. Hello? Looks like you got a call back, caller. But yeah, I was entertained by what the prime minister said. It was a strong speech. The deliverance was appropriate, and he made me proud. He made me proud listening to it. But I also hear Mia Motley's speech, and it was very uncanny that both speeches sounded alike. They both dealt with the same topic. They mentioned Cuba. They mentioned Haiti. They mentioned the blacklisting. They mentioned the banks. And I say, this speech is the same. This is the same. Mia copied our prime minister. That's what I said. I looked at that YouTube video and said, Mia them is copy.
they come all the way to the Bahamas.
I doubt that.
It was the same speech.
But I doubt that.
Mia copy our prime minister.
I really doubt that.
Because our prime minister spoke first. I say, me and them are they writers. They writers. They copy our prime
minister. But the speech was memorable on both ends. I mean, it's never a dull moment when we see Mrs. Motley get onto the world stage, and she speaks so eloquently when she speaks about anything that is going to be beneficial to her and her country. She speaks from a standpoint as a leader that she's looking out for not just the benefit of Barbados, but she's saying the Caribbean.
Yeah, she seems to be the leader of the Caribbean.
I consider her as the mayor.
All Caribbean nations now take her lead and follow her lead.
I call her the mayor of the Caribbean at this particular time.
I see I have another caller there. Let's see if that caller will come true finally this time. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me now?
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How you doing?
How you doing?
Right, a good buddy. You know, I saw the Prime Minister's speech the other day, and you heard some of the little comments that I did on board. Well, you know, I heard people say, that to me, that was a remarkable speech,
mm-hmm.
one that we haven't heard in a long time. But I get a little disturbed when they say my new Prime Minister, Mr. Philip Edward Brave Davis, is the next L.O. Pinlin. I get a little upset with that. Philip Edward Brave Davis is Philip Edward Brave Davis. Mr. Pinlin had his legacy and his reign. Mr. Ingram, Mr. Christie, Mr. Minnis, they all had their time. It's Philip Brave Davis now. He's brave now. Give him his doggone kudos for being himself. He worked hard from Cat Island to where he is today. He don't need to be classed as nobody else other than Philip Brave Davis. And when we listen to some of the things he said, when we look around the world, most of the most powerful nations in the world, they talk about peace and love and this and that and that. And they are the ones making all the guns, all the aircraft carriers, all the jets, everything, the ammunition, the bullets and everything. Haiti, the Bahamas and all that. We don't make no guns. We don't start no war. We don't run no war. We don't own nothing. They come into our little small country, the most beautiful country in the world, to take everything we get. And they still keep us on the plantation picking cotton. I hear people talk about the guns coming from Haiti. The guns can't be coming from Haiti because Haiti don't make no guns. They ain't got no gun factory in Haiti. It might be coming from the boat coming from Haiti, but they come in most of these little yachts and stuff because you know they don't come on no plane because they got to come through customs and all the whatever they have to take a check bags like guns in there. So they got to be coming in these yachts and stuff to all these marinas and all these outriders and everything. There got to be a big sale of guns been going on from time immemorial in the Bahamas. And somebody got to know what's going on because we don't make no guns in New Providence and we don't make none in the Bahamas. You understand what I'm saying? So they can't blame us for nothing. They can't blame us for the drugs because the drugs come from Colombia and so forth. And the people who want it, they want it in America. We just a transshipment go in there. The big sales, the big millionaires, and them who has pushed the thing and who has made the money off the drugs, they up there in America, so they can't blame the Bahamas for no drugs, no guns, no nothing.
Okay.
Maybe be a little bit too much of a Christian nation, and that's another big lie of another day.
Okay, then, Sparky. I appreciate that.
Happy birthday, Wally boys. Let's go do it.
Okay. I see another caller there, producer. Pastor Caller True. How you doing there, caller? Can you hear me?
Brother Nuri.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
It's very interesting, the remark I heard from the Prime Minister. You must remember he has the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Bahamas to back him and the nation to support him. If he has evidence to show what he's saying, then produce the evidence.
He didn't call no names. I expected him to be direct and say, these are the people.
Speaking in circles.
Mm.
You shouldn't just be throwing out statements and not being very specific.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I was trying to get a hold of these 43 things that the government of the Bahamas had signed with the European Union. I was trying to get it from the Attorney General's office. They were trying to straighten things out in there. I got to call them again.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, you signed 42 out of 43.
Mm-hmm.
You don't do that. You have to tell these people no. You never came and consulted with the Bahamian people for the things they're telling you to do. We are a sovereign, independent nation. The United States has one seat in the UN. We got one seat in the UN. So we're equal.
We can vote on it. But MacArthur, I need you on the show one of these days. So leave. I want to talk Constitution. I want to challenge you on the Constitution.
And well, that's my specialty.
I know. Fine. So if you could leave the number to the producer, I can arrange it.
Yeah, I'll leave it with the producer. That's not a problem. But I heard you, and I think you're doing a good show. But I just thought I would call in, because you need not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You just speak objectively, speak honestly, and whoever the captain led them where.
Yeah, man. I appreciate
you. But
you
shouldn't talk in circles. I don't do that with the Constitution. I speak very plainly.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll leave it with the producer.
Yes. I have another text here that says, CA, your guest is missing the point. The statement from the government admitted that they did not comply. See? They had a deadline and they didn't do it. Therefore, shouldn't they be penalized like everybody else? Right? Who did not comply? Bahamians need to get out of this complacency mindset and the expectation that malfeasance, that's a strong word to use, I don't think it's appropriate, should not be chastised. The narrative of racism, same texter, the narrative of racism is wrong. This is not a race issue. The financial system is a system. If one element of the system is not working properly, the entire system is jeopardized. That is why the countries that benefit most from the system want to ensure that it operates properly. Man, I think they're picking on us, texter. I really believe they're picking on us. And I ain't sure that racism isn't involved. I'm noticing that the seeing colonizers, just like the Prime Minister said, the seeing colonizers, right, are not being treated as how we are being treated. We are getting the blacklisting. We are getting the warnings. And they doing the same, like Delaware. Move more money and smoke. You see? It get me frustrated, man. But I see I have one more call and I go come right back to you, Ian. Go ahead, producer. Patch that caller through.
Good evening. This is Stark in the Voice along with you and your co-host, Nuri.
How you doing, Bruman?
Pleasant good day.
Say it again?
Good day, Bruman.
Oh, yeah. Much the same to you. We need justice and law in this country. But, you know, a couple of things I want to say. First, I want to say I'm the government got to do something with those people that are squatting on people's land and causing a lot of problems and giving them light on the land in which what we're told not to put any, which was told by the owners not to put any electricity on the premises, okay? Mm-hmm. So government got to wake up and stop their foolishness. Other thing is, right? Now, when it comes to the Prime Minister, he talked about, paraphrasing now, what he allowed people to do, right? We're speaking of the preference in which he gives them to come in this place and buy or take out whatever, probably our son or our rug at night, right? We, the Bahamian public, gets nothing from that. That's what they're doing. They signed for that. So they can't be showing that in the people's face as if as though the whole Bahamas benefit from situation as such because they drag their feet on something and cause us to want to be blacklisted. You got to get it right, okay? Stop talking foolish because there are intelligent people in this country, the Bahamas, and people are watching things. So do things right. Using black. You can't use the black people as a cop-out. Just do the right thing. You're caught with your pants off. You're dragging your feet. You should have done what you're supposed to do.
I hear you, Bremen. You're not giving the government a blight. You're saying that they should have fulfilled the obligations that they agreed upon. And because of that, we are now blacklisted. And the opposition is right to chastise them. But I think they're bullying us. They keep on changing the goalposts. So that's
because
my concern.
They wouldn't do the right thing. They got a letter to deal with the situation from before this blacklisting came up. But what happened? They didn't answer in time.
Mm-hmm.
They dragged their feet. And then you could use the black countries, you know what I'm saying, to make yourself look good.
I appreciate you, Bremen.
That's a cop-out.
Let me hear what Ian has to say about that. Ian, thanks very much, Bremen. Have a nice day. Ian, they say it's a cop-out.
I'll say this to you, Mr. Ian, is that both administrations, no matter who's...
Or you can blame the acronym then?
No, no, we can say both administrations because it's happened
previous... So it's the acronym for...
No, no, it's happened previous in the past.
So we're going to go back to the past?
Not just the past. We're in the present, but we've seen the trend of things happening. Mm-hmm. When both administrations were in office, mm-hmm. we have seen the same thing happen in terms of those countries blacklisting and setting the criteria. And maybe for small, minute things too. Like they're saying that the little things that you would have looked at that you normally would just overlook. And yet they still would have just said, okay, then you're still not up to par. You still didn't do this yet, or you didn't do that yet. So you're blacklisted in a sense, right? Now, we look at, like you're saying, the colonizers, right? Mm-hmm. The colonizers are the ones who are in control, and they're in control for a particular reason. Us in the Bahamas, we don't really manufacture. We're not that self-reliant. We're dependent on these other nations in terms of how we borrow our monies. We're independent on them and how we eat our food. You know, we're thinking about diversifying our investment. Look at our structure internally in our country. Mm-hmm. The Bahamians that have the capital, they're not investing outside of their circles mm-hmm. in their own country. So we're looking for foreign entities to come in to lend us some money. Yeah. We're looking for the foreign people to send us some food to eat so that we can eat, because we're importing 98% of all of our products here in the country. Mm-hmm. So then what could you do on a world stage? Mm-hmm. When those persons say to you, who control those markets, you want my money? This is the criteria. You want the food? This is what you're going to have to do. We're going to have to send the taxes up on that. What do you do?
Mm-hmm. I see I have another caller there, producer, pastor caller through. How are you doing today, caller? It's an open line Monday. We talking about anything you want to talk about?
Good morning, Brother Nui. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. What do you think about the Prime Minister's speech?
Well, I can say some things. I know a lot of people can be astonished, and I guess he made some good points a while ago. See, when Mr. Christie came with Bambi, that was a good, great idea. You see, because if you can remember back in the 50s and 60s, Lucia, we used to grow everything in the Bahamas. Anything could grow in the Bahamas, even apple. Don't mind lying people talking foolishness. See, just see, we meet people, all this like people that do take for them, all the wrong people talk for them. Let me give you an example. When the former Prime Minister, Papa, sold the hotel to those Jamaican at different prices. Oh, well, you didn't go to buy them hotel and renovate them hotel, you know. But they get mad when people come in and borrow the money and fix the place and do things and start to make money. They mad with the Chinese because the Chinese selling the thing cheaper. You have to compete. And Sparky made some good contributions this morning. And, you know, I am a person, Brother Nui. I don't like big leaders. Even the brave, they always keep doing some of the things they're doing. I think he will be original. But what he needs to do is control some of them lousy members he got and some of his PLP supporters. Mm-hmm. Because he always says, at the end of the day, the Bahamas is for all. And I always say, Brother Nui, in my chat groups, if war were to break out, only the PLPs would fight the war. See, so sometimes you got to be careful what you say in the people, man. Mm-hmm. Gone are the days when people are afraid of politicians. Politicians are getting killed, police getting killed, defense force officers, everybody getting killed. You know? Mm-hmm. Nobody's scared of this country no more. It appears to me as if our judiciary is collapsing. People got no bail and killing, robbing, beating. Come on, man. Nassau is a small island. 7.5 by 19. Now, the door is gated and we can't even get things part of the island. In Brother Nui, things have to change. And changes have to come with people making tough decisions. Mm-hmm. And keep up the good work, my brother.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much. And he mentioned that Mr. Davis is going to be all right once he deals and manages his MPs. And I wanted to make a segue. Of course, we're still going to talk about the Prime Minister's speech at the UN. But last week when you were here... Last week when you were here, you wanted to speak on the 300 houses pledged by the Minister of Housing, Joe Bedco Davis. And you were concerned. And you were saying, but what this 300 houses? Who are you building these houses for? But before I let you comment on it, I had a person on hold for a while, so let me pass him through. And then you think about that. I want to know why you always picking on Joe Bed Colby Davis. I don't like it. I like that beautiful woman. Go ahead, caller, producer, pass the caller through. Caller, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, man.
I'm fine, and I agree with you, man. Stop picking on my Joe Davis.
Yes, man.
Yeah, well, I love that woman. She's doing a wonderful job. The PLP females are performing. But I want to draw quickly on what Mr. Thompson was talking about, the constitutional man. Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister is saying anything with the EU. It's a new government. Mm-hmm. I think that it might be getting mixed up with the other government, with the prime minister, the new government that came into power.
I know sometimes they think our government continuous. Our government is not continuous, right? That's what you're trying to say, right?
No, that one is not continuous because we didn't sign. So far, there's nothing signed with the EU from this government,
okay,
from the prime minister. Secondly, why the opposition did not raise the issue in parliament?
What issue?
What they're talking about, I miss.
And parliament on break?
No, but you could have raised it earlier. What are you saying? Did you follow up?
No, he's saying that this was on the table and that it was given. The prime minister addressed this or mentioned this from February, right? And said that he plans to sign and agree on most of these things and meet the obligations. And that we had from February, and this now September, and we didn't meet all our obligations, so therefore we are blacklisted. And he said, man, he to blame.
But I don't. Because I fear that the opposition should take some of the blame for it.
So even though the prime minister said he planned to do it, blame the opposition. I understand, you know.
No, he should take some of the blame. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Don't talk out of the blame because Parliament's going to be resuming next week, and I'm sure prime minister and his eagle mind will show what the opposition was talking about. It's a cramp out.
Oh, okay.
Right. So I always tell the opposition, now you're a new leader. Stand on your own.
Okay.
Stand on your own. Create your own record because your former leader is the vice prime minister. Going on this record, you're in trouble. Stand on your own, Mr. Pintad, your own record. Prove to me you could be a leader and distance yourself from the vice prime minister.
Okay, there, Punkin.
Punkin, have a good day.
I appreciate you. Okay, that's the last corner. Let me pick your brain now, Ian, because like I said, I think he's pick on Joe Bat sometime.
Wouldn't do that.
That's good. But see, let me put a narrative. We have the Mortgage Corporation have a huge number. They were saying that it's like 70% of the Mortgage Corporation, I think that was the last report, is in arrear. People stop paying because he's going through COVID and then everybody's going through a recession, right? Mm-hmm. And that people are trying to catch up in the Mortgage Corporation cast a blind eye in order to help some people out. But 70% of the people in my area can't pay their mortgage. And then you hear the Minister of Housing say, man, I plan to build 300 houses in Abaco alone. And you're wondering, is this woman sensible? Is she paying attention on what is happening? Who is going to purchase these houses, right? Right? But she says she can do it. She can outdo Shane Gibson. She can score on a racket and make a racket, right?
This is one of the reasons why I say what I say to you, is because we're thinking about building more housing for persons to have a home. But the homes that we currently have that the persons have mortgage for, they basically can't pay for them, in a sense. What I'm saying to you is that we have to build our people financially. And we have to be able, they have to be able to be stable enough that they can afford the housing projects.
So you don't believe in just giving them the housing if they don't pay, let's leave them for a while?
You can't do that.
No.
Because the corporation can't receive that power.
I thought we was just going to borrow the money. This is for empowering Bahamians.
But you ain't going to empower them by that. We can empower them by teaching them how to fish.
Even if we cut the amount of money they got to pay back and say, well, have a delay?
But this is something that we should have considered now with the mortgages. The persons have already had mortgage for the last 25 years and still haven't paid for their mortgages as yet. Because then what happens is, although persons were paying their mortgages or paying somewhat of the mortgage or percentage of the mortgage, as long as you're late to the Mortgage Corporation, every day you're late, I think it's like $10 additional fee. It may seem like there's not really that much money, but it becomes a lot of money after a period of time. See, so a lot of times I think that our people are not educated to a lot of these things that they're going to go through, whether it be financially, how to financially sustain themselves and obtaining a mortgage. Once you get this mortgage, these are the things that you're going to experience. Let's say you bought the home. The contractors that contracted the low-cost housing, they got the contract, you got your keys. They have a particular time when the mortgage corporations, anything goes wrong in the place, it's your responsibility. We've seen houses in 6 and 7 months that are starting to crack. We've seen the floors of some houses fall through. We've seen there are so many different things that happen with these housing situations. There's rushing housing. So I think that, you know, the former minister responsible for housing, I think it was Denicio de Aguilar.
No. Housing was environment.
Environment, yeah. Whoever, but I know Denicio came on live air.
No, he's tourism.
No, he was tourism minister. Yeah. But I'm saying he came online on air.
Oh, the commentary.
In the commentary, when he said that...
you need
that
to be married.
They need to go back and get married or go back with your old boyfriend and hook up with that, because he says that these people are not meeting the requirement in terms of having a mortgage. Mm-hmm. So it says to me that, okay, if you're saying that either they are financially burdened already and they can't afford these particular housing, although the means of what Mortgage Corporation stood for, the vision of Mortgage Corporation was they built those homes for single mothers, giving them an opportunity.
They ain't doing that no more.
No, they've gone far away from that, from the vision statement. So we're looking at building 300 houses, what the budget is for this 300 houses.
I don't know. They didn't explain how much one of these houses costs. Perhaps if you are really interested and you can afford it, you would get the information yourself.
But think about it like this. The cost of the housing, I'm sure, would have gone up since 10, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think the housing then at one point, some 10 years ago, would have been somewhat $84,000, give or take.
$90,000.
$90,000 in a row. Now, I think the housing is anywhere between $130,000 plus.
That ain't low cost, by the way.
That's my point. My point is that the government owns the land, which is Crown land. The government is going to take in perspective that they have to put in the infrastructure. They have to do this. They have to do that. Then they have to then find contractors to build the housing. And then the cost of the material determines now what the cost of the overall building is going to cost. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the building at 130, 140 completion, 50, 60, maybe 180, depending on the area that they zoned it in, from young professionals to the average worker. So you're thinking about that level of money for 25, 30 years in a mortgage. That's somewhat $900 to $1,400 in a mortgage payment. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money, CA.
Mm-hmm. I see I have a caller here. Let me pass the caller through. Producer? Producer, pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes, I can. Good morning, and good morning to your guest.
Good morning, ma'am.
Listen, he just said most of what I was thinking, listening to the information about the Minister for Housing. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, Mr. Neary, I call the Peter Ponyer Minister.
Lord.
I am trying to figure out if, by the time she's done, if the Mortgage Corporation is going to be in the financial straits like the National Insurance Board. Mm. Because if you're building and you're not getting those funds back to replace, where's that going to leave the corporation in a few years? Mm. Won't that leave them in? Because it's only Abaco she aiming for 300. You can imagine how much she's trying to build here in New Providence. Then, who, like the person in Abaco said, the funds that they're giving them to start them off in a rental unit, they cannot sustain the rent after that money is done. So obviously they don't have the money. So who is going to live in these houses? I don't think she sit down and just thought about it. Her mind was, hold on, if he did six, I won't do 10. And that's the only thing she's going on. Somebody needs to sit her down before she breaks that corporation. I'm so sorry to say it like that, Mr. Neary. I know that's your love. But before she breaks that corporation, like a cracker, somebody needs to sit her down and tell her, hold on, if you can build two houses and get the persons in those to sustain those over a year or two, then you go and you build four more. But don't just throw build, and you're not getting anything back. Because you'll build, be the minister that builds the most home, but absolutely nobody living in them.
Agreed,
until they get to the point where they're going to take them over. That's wrong. She should not. Don't push just to build. Because money is just tough. And you, the majority of the persons, now you're building for persons who work to, say, the fast food restaurants or the gas station, something with a mediocre mortgage payment. Then I could see you doing that because those persons can't afford it because those persons tend to stay on their jobs longer. You understand? But don't build for something you know is out of the reach of most of the Bahamian people, and really and truly.
I appreciate you, caller. Thanks very much. Right, I have a text here that says, I encourage your caller who said the PM did not sign anything with the EU to read the newspapers which states that the PM sent a letter of commitment to the EU on these matters. And I remember reading something like that, but some of us have to defend no matter what, right? Good morning, Texter. I am one of the behemoths who is not impressed with the Mr. Davis so-called tough talk abroad. I will, however, be impressed when he gets our country in order. This can be done by placing national issues over personal issues of his supporters. The government knew that blacklisting was looming from the time they came in. But what did they do? Focus on government lawsuits for persons who helped them to win the election. May Almighty God rain justice on this and all governments who mislead and take advantage of us. I think that person's an FNM. I sense it inside the text.
See, if I was the prime minister, mm-hmm. I would have taken the approach to the housing scenarios like this. I would have simply looked at the mortgages of the persons that held the mortgage for the last, let's say, 15, 20 years of their lives before the pandemic happened. And I would have looked at those and just what they did with the property taxes mm-hmm. when they said that person should just come and just pay half of that. Mm-hmm. And then that will be concluded as the end of that. We would have given them an opportunity to do that. I think that monies would have been better spent to do that to those behemoths like that rather than those behemoths who went into either foreclosures, just locked up, mold, decaying of the houses, vandalism to the houses. There were so many different things we saw during those pandemics and persons that lost their homes. So we're saying to use that. We don't want to incorporate slackness, mm-hmm. but we want to be able to build the minds of the people. I think that literacy needs to be taught on terms beyond the financing part.
How to keep house?
Houses, basically, that's a way of life. Mm-hmm. Because people look at having a home as stability for their families. Mm-hmm. But in order for you to have this, these are the criteria of the things that you need to be educated on.
But Ian,
people say, I want a house.
Mortgage corporation don't put people out. So if you don't pay, you won't go to no place. You can be
No, some people were put out. Some people were put out. You read the newspaper. They said there are some cases that some behemoths didn't pay not $1. These were facts. People were put out their homes, those homes.
Man, that's kind of harsh. But I see I have another caller there. Producer Prasha, call her through. Let me see what they have on their mind. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hello. Speak up a little bit.
Exactly. Really
I can hear you now.
Do you have a general topic? I just tuned in.
It's open line Monday. We can speak on what you want to speak about.
I tend, first and foremost, I think it's kind of mischievous or silly to think just because you disagree, you're automatically a PLC. That's almost like saying, because I don't agree with your particular narrative, mm-hmm. I must hate you or I don't like you. No, it's just I don't agree. So you kill the whole argument or you kill the whole discussion because on the premise that they're not agreeing because they're PLP or FNM. So I don't think you should come with that entire mindset. But what I'm calling for is
mm-hmm.
I tend to agree a little bit with what was said to the other texter or as relates to this administration, as relates to dealing with stuff that's on the ground. I'm from Abaco, and we have a housing crisis in Abaco.
Yeah.
And we have a double standard in Abaco as relates to behemoths and when it comes to personal protection before our patients. And it's been ignored by this particular administration. And also, this citizenship bill, we know that, not a bill, but something they're talking about the citizenship thing that they were trying to pass. What I'm saying is we have evolved as a nation, and there are certain things that we have to amend and fix.
Call him.
I can barely hear you.
I'm not sure why not, but I wanted to ask about the citizenship bill. Are you talking about the equality bill where we have women have the same rights as men? And you disagree that women should not have... that women should not have the same rights as men.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Oh, so I just want to make sure which bill we're talking about.
Hold on. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. Don't try to change. It's fine to see what you're trying to do right now, but listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm saying that should be addressed, but also we have stuff that's been happening, that's been ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's called... Normally, how people learn, you tend to try to make their arguments null and void. But listen to what I'm saying to you.
I'm listening.
This immigration situation has been going on for decades. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, man.
All right. So I noticed that when you have people on, you try to, you bias to a certain extent. You're more liberal, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is Article 77 of the Constitution can be addressed, where persons who come coming there illegally, we could probably assist them with some type of residency, but not citizenship, because you are awarding bad behavior. You notice that no administration want to fix this. And what's happening is you have people continuing to come in and being rewarded eventually with citizenship, which will give more people incentive to come and be patient, to make it whoever. Why, in your opinion, like no administration is doing this? They'll jump to, they'll try to fix or amend every other thing but that Article 77 of the Constitution. I can't hear what you're saying, but I'll hang up and, but I know you're going to switch it up and change the narrative of like, well, we probably xenophobic because we're concerned. But I'm saying on the ground in Abaco, because you guys are NASA-centric, you don't know what's going on in Abaco. But
I need to have a show on Abaco in general.
Yeah, because you guys, it's irritating and frustrating to hear persons who live in Nassau who don't know what's going on and just, oh, the humans are xenophobic. They don't like, bro, you only know what's really going on and get out from where you are and really do some research, you will see that it's not what you think. And behemoths are being penalized where you have other persons coming in here and they're turning a blind eye. Shanty Township, my last point before I go.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
My last point, because I know you know you guys don't like to deal with what's really going on. My last point, what's going on is they would drive past Shanty Township because we got we had injunction where you're not supposed to build any new structures, I think it was an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
That's being ignored. There's a new budget agency being built, not on the old site, but by sandbanks and going down the treasure key. I read in Murphy County, Dunnistan, but you know what? You would have immigration officers, you have politicians come to Abaco and it will ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
And the humans are getting frustrated and eventually just, anyway, you guys keep on ignoring it. You can see what's going to happen. You guys have a nice.
Thank you very much for the caller. And you can hear that the caller is frustrated, right? And especially what's happening in Abaco. So we'll have an Abaco show.
We can have
the Abaco people call and answer some questions. And perhaps it's them to blame. They're watching things happen. They have two MPs, right? And they surely have town hall meetings and you can tell the MP, hey, you see that shanty just built?
Enforce the law.
Enforce the law, you know? But I think they won't blame us in Nassau. I don't live in Abaco. But I have another caller right there, Caprice. Pass the caller through. How you doing today, caller?
Good morning, CA.
Good morning to you.
And your guest, Ian.
Good morning.
As far as I know, the government houses, there was a backlist of thousands.
Mm-hmm.
All our families need $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a whole turnkey house, 50 by 100. Look at the yellow elder. Mm-hmm. But build that. Mothers can leave their children when they're dead somewhere to live.
You know, I know a couple of them who still pay the mortgage. That must have been 40 years ago.
With that mortgage coming out, insurance, if you're dead, it's paid for.
And pay it off.
Yeah, so I'm saying, imagine if building did not have the idea of building government houses. Building is hard. When my built, block was $1. Private was $20. You might have been costing now to build a house. Plus, some contractors around there so shady, you would get messed right up. A single mother trying to build a house, it would be almost impossible for her to come out good. So I'm glad that they're building houses for people. Having somewhere to live without paying rent is the best thing a mother can leave her children. Or even when she get old, get to put an old folks home because she owns something. And you're ready to see who on the will. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
man.
And let's back to our financial thing. Do they come after the Cayman Islands or any British territory as they come after us? Because the Cayman Islands do 2 times as much business as us on the LLC. If you look in the back of every super mega yacht, it's registered in the Cayman Islands. Why? Because there are thousands of LLCs.
I'm saying the Prime Minister could have called their name so I could know exactly who he's talking about. He ain't called no names.
It's called diplomacy.
Oh, that's what he's doing
there. You just read between the lines and, you know.
Did you notice how empty the United Nations room was? Those who had the power was not there.
I wanted to interview Michael, Mr. Andrew Dad Maynard. Mm-hmm. He was showing the CIP when Finland went to some meeting the Reagan world and raised holy hell, and from then, God says Reagan was against him. I want to find Andrew John Maynard. He was there, a chairman of the PLP. The Clinton tried to see him, tried to carry, walk with a big stick. And the big boy pushed him down. Mm-hmm. Remember, we're going to say so much because we are dependent on these people to live.
Okay. They soon remind us that we depend on them.
They soon remind us. Sanctions, embargoes.
Any minute now. Yeah. And you can say, Lord, you should be in quiet. But what time is it now? It's actually, I have 6 more minutes, but we got to go. But let me go on break. Because I didn't go on break all day. I call it, don't hang up. I'm going to come straight back to you. But it's Guardian Radio in AM.
Okay, class, let's begin today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri and my guest host, Ian Munnings. And we're going straight to the line right now. We're just trying to get the 2 callers in. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm all right, sir. You know, the last caller, right, he talked about government homes, right? There's 21% of Bahamian households cannot afford a government home. You understand me? Housing, public housing isn't affording ownership of a government home. That's affording to live in a government home. You understand me? So these folks, they're all about sound bites for these government homes, and that's all it's about. You know, Neil Markey talk about these people. They're out of touch. You see, they are out of touch. You know, they refuse. She also talk about wage inequality. The prime minister of the day, he refused to address it. You understand me? And then he has the audacity to go and beg the international community because of the Bahamas is too poor to take care of his issues. Come on, man. Tell him that poor people like modest, man. Black poor people in the Bahamas like modest. Not only the Irish Bahamians, the poor one likes modest. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ian, did you see those social media pro-government advertisements? Like, they're all over social media now. I mean, I forget, close to somebody where it's interviewing people, right? And said, I'm a teacher, and I believe that only this administration cares. Oh, I'm a plumber, and I got my job during the COVID, and only this administration. And I said, dang.
The public relations is an A+.
Who paid for that?
The public relations is an A+.
Is that coming from the public treasury, you know? Or is that a private thing? They promoting and advertising hot. You know, I mean, in every aspect.
The narrative. We have to control the narrative.
Agriculture, yes. The government invested in agriculture, and only this government. Oh,
but everything is moving slow. We're still waiting to see things boom.
Yeah, I see. I have a text here that says, in order for you to do an Abaco show, you must first go to Abaco and spend at least a week to get a first-hand account so you can speak from a point of reference. Look like God didn't need to send me to Abaco.
That's the show.
Yeah. Do I need a passport to go Abaco?
Just your driver's license.
You know, I don't have a passport right now. I still have to apply for my passport.
Yeah, NIB.
No?
Or your driver's license.
So I have an NIB and a driver's license.
But Luke,
so
you're good to go.
Yes. My NIB is not expired. Is it expired? I think my... But anyway, yeah.
They'll let you go on it.
But I just can't call somebody and just talk about Abaco. That will work out. I need to go down.
You have to be on the ground.
I got to be on the ground.
I think they're saying they feel better if somebody hearing their cry.
Yeah.
Although we have two ministers down there.
Down there. They can do their job, you know? But I just find it interesting, right? I just find it interesting that, first of all, I enjoyed the Prime Minister's speech.
I did too.
I noticed that the speech was similar to Mia Motley's, and I'm not sure if they connected to each other and say, hey, this is our plan and this will be going through.
We're targeting on one goal. They have one goal, one target, which is good.
I see COP 27 coming up shortly, so I'm assuming that both speeches are going to be similar. But we already make a point last time. You know, even though that was empty too, and nobody seemed to be present when the speech was delivered. I wonder if anyone is listening to our small island nations. I know we like making a lot of noise, but it doesn't seem that they're listening.
I think in reference what Mia said was this. She is trying to say that these bodies of countries needs to get together to make one voice. It's difficult when you're separate, but it's stronger when you're together.
Anyway, I have 1 minute. I enjoyed having you on. Of course, I'm going to bring you back again next week as my guest host again.
We got 300 houses to go now.
And we need to do an open line. But anyway, this has been Guardian Radio in the AM. I would see you in the area, and we see you again tomorrow.